in human life which are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. The animal rights movement is all about being honest in our dealings with others, or it should be, not just saying what's expedient or comfortable or convenient. When people say they're going to retire to go fishing, that is not a benign activity. That is hunting in the water. When we say eating meat is linked to impotence, that's true. Of course, that may not be a bad thing. And we say that cheese does cause zits, and that beer is better for you than milk. Animal rights people, of course, find it inexcusable to accept that you can treat animals badly just because they happen to be different. If you cut animals, don't they bleed? If you tickle animals, don't they giggle? We tell our children might doesn't make right, and then we turn around and throw it all out the window, all these principles like might doesn't make right, because it's convenient for us to do something different. That's why I think we should be proud that our movement is working very hard to cast aside all prejudice, all injustice, not just those injustices and prejudices that apply to our own species. There is absolutely no trick to looking back on the great injustices of our time. And by that I mean the obvious ones, the Holocaust, slavery, and condemning them. We understand that. We got that. There's no trick to going along with the status quo and not rocking the boat. The trick is always to look at what we're doing today as if we were some point in the future looking back and figure out what the oppressions and the injustices are that we're committing today and to get them out of our lives. You have to rock the boat if you want to make waves, and you have to be honest if you want change. Most people in this room understand that slavery is not over in America or in the Western world or in the world in general. The animals are today's slaves. And yet, what little pittance do they want? They don't want the right to vote. They don't need the right to do anything except have our respect for them as other nations, for that is what they are. They're not objects, they are anima, they're life, they're like us. And the greatest respect of all that we can afford them is just to leave them alone. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is known for doing what, to some people, are fairly outrageous things. I believe we're like Dante Rossetti, who is the old painter, who used to be chided for being told not to make a spectacle of himself. And he used to say, well, if I make a spectacle, people stare, and then I have the attention for my serious work. So forgive us, please, for all the embarrassing stunts, the crazy antics, and the stupid tricks. What we realize is that the press, God bless them, are like your cat. That if you speak seriously to them, they pay absolutely no mind. But if you waggle your finger under the door, they know it's just your finger, but they have to come over and have a look. So we know our work's a very serious issue. Please don't ever think that we don't. But by using humor and by being provocative, we get thousands of people who would otherwise not give two hoots to take a look. And people who won't look at the gore cannot help but look at the gorgeous. Animal rights is everywhere these days. Everything you pick up. And it's because people are actively working to make it so. It's not just some sort of fluke. Times are certainly changing. It used to be that milk was a sacred cow, and I don't mean that as a pun. No one thought about the mother cow. There are no retirement homes for her. She was kicked and beaten down the same ramp the beef cow goes down. And nobody thought about the connection between the veal calf and the dairy industry, that in order to have the dairy industry, you have to steal the milk that is meant for that calf. All people used to think was that milk is healthy. And it's wonderful that that has changed. You know, the latest edition of Dr. Spock's Baby and Healthcare, number one bestseller, has an apology from him in it for ever having recommended milk for children. And to add to a host of new studies, they seem to come out all the time, showing that that mucousy muck is linked to everything from childhood onset diabetes to colic, ear infections, even crib death. Last week, a study from Glasgow's Royal Hospital for Sick Children found that breastfeeding can reduce a baby's risk of childhood obesity by 30%, and we have an epidemic of childhood obesity in this country. 2 weeks ago, the medical journal The Lancet reported that cattle proteins have been found in chicken feed and actually in the tissue of chickens in supermarkets, meaning that there now is the possibility that mad cow disease in its avian form can be passed on through chicken consumption. This is in The Lancet, not an animal rights publication, but the medical journal. I absolutely adore chickens. I used to take in rescued hens and call them my girls, and they were always very special to me. They had individual personalities. They would play their sort of World Cup form of soccer with melon balls and make dust bowls for themselves to bathe in, and they would roost in the trees, and they would go out sunbathing, flapping their wings, just like people on the beach in their bikinis. And they were just full of personality, preening for the rooster, some chatty, some not. They certainly had as much personality as any dog, and probably more than some people I've met. I think I love them extra because I was really riddled with guilt that my favorite dish used to be roast chicken. And you can be cured of eating chicken if you take a ride at the end of this conference, if you're up for it, to the Purdue processing plants. That's what they call their slaughterhouses, which are just 50 miles away from here, if that. You know, most United States Department of Agriculture inspectors do not eat chicken. And if you get to know those birds, it really is such a tragedy. When someone says to me, "I don't eat red meat," I always think, I wish more than anything, and I always have, that I had some little red dye to inject into those birds. Because the more people step away from eating beef, unless it's for ethical reasons, the more they start eating chicken, and the more animals are in trouble. I do talk a lot about going vegan and being vegan because everybody eats. As Peter Singer said, that most people's interaction with animals occurs 3 times a day when they sit down to eat them. And today, United States Department of Agriculture figures show that in America, people eat 1 million animals every hour. And most of those are chickens. I say vegan, I don't want to say pure vegetarian, which you could also say, because that sounds as if you have to go to church and you can't drink beer. When you're talking about veganism or anything else, I'd say don't worry if people aren't receptive. The human species isn't very bright, it just thinks it is. It has to hear the message several times. We all had to go through that. Every summer, Peter serves veggie hot dogs at ballparks and outdoor activities, and they taste pretty much like other hot dogs, I'm sure. And we give away free samples. But there are always some people who come up, and they look at it, and they say, vegetarian hot dogs? And what's in those things? And you say, "Well, vegetables, soybeans," and they say, "Oh," and they wrinkle their nose. And I always wonder, would they be happy if you said, "Oh, sorry, these are the meat ones. What's in them? Let's see, ground muscle, ear, nose skin, rectums." One day I'm going to try that. Real meat, like real leather, has a certain stench to it. I've stood on the kill floors in many slaughterhouses over the years, ones for chickens, ones for horses, for cattle, even for dogs in Taiwan. And I can only say that after those experiences, meat to me smells like hot death, because that is the smell that permeates the slaughterhouse. I can't associate it with anything edible. It conjures up memories to me of all the animals I have watched going down with their feet stuck in those clamps or being hung up by the neck. And their eyes are always wide, and they are always so afraid. Dog, chicken, cow, calf. And it's always as if they look at you and they say, help me, this cannot be happening to me. They have never, I don't care what anyone in the farming industry says, those animals never expect that moment to come. It is just too horrific. If the smell of meat still smells good to you, I would say force yourself, please, and go and watch one of the films that's here of the little pigs going down the ramp to their deaths, or the little chickens looking up and seeing the man with the knife in front of them. It really is worth forcing yourself to do it. Human beings should be in awe of all the other animals. They're never greedy. They live well on the earth. They don't despoil it. They don't pollute it. They live simply. It isn't because of them that the sun is searing into the earth, bringing starvation to the peoples of Africa, that no one can drink from our waterways, that sparrows are dying throughout Europe, frogs are disappearing in South America, and penguins are found floating dead in the Antarctic. An albatross was the first to go around the world and knew that the world was round before we did, and did it without instruments. Dolphins use sonar. Ants construct boats to cross rivers. We should be in awe. Our own species has trashed the place. The supermarket has replaced all the natural food and pharmacies. The Congo is disappearing, and with it the most amazing examples of life, of foods, and of medicine. Inside those jungles are elephants, chimpanzees, monkeys, antelopes, small rodents, leopards, tree frogs, crocodiles, birds, insects, and deer. Millions and millions of them. Yet unlike our cities, their ground is rich with vegetation, the forest canopy provides shade, the rivers are clear, and the food is abundant. In 5 years, it will almost all be gone. And because we humans here have so much greed, not need, but greed, that we want more rubber, more minerals, we want more logs, more lumber, we just want more. That's what our species is defined as. We gorge ourselves on foods that cause heart attacks and strokes and cancers, and then we torment animals in laboratories in the hope of finding pills that will allow us to continue to gorge ourselves. In the animal kingdom, animals don't succumb to heart attack and cancer and stroke in these ways. They eat what nature intended, they remain healthy, they use natural medicines. Our species is so proud of having language, yet we ignore the fact that the elephant mothers talk to their babies subsonically. That means at frequencies that are too low for us to hear without instruments. And rats do the same thing. Rhinos use breathing signals as messages, and tree frogs tap out their messages on the logs. Even the tiniest little insect produces too high-pitched and too fast sounds for us to interpret. Over 1,700 different dolphin whistles have been recorded. We don't bother to record the sounds of those animals. It would be too inconvenient for us to know about. We're doing to beavers and coyotes and prairie dogs what was done to Native American human beings just a wink of an eye ago. We are destroying their land. We're seizing their families. We're poisoning and shooting them in cold blood. It is our species' failure to understand all the other species on the planet and to go into space to look for intelligent life when it's all around us that is the problem. It is our species' greed. We should be in awe of animals, and we should look to ourselves for what motivates us to carry on through life, and what our values are, and what our principles are, and what our level of understanding of others truly is. It won't be easy to change society. After 9/11, people said, how can you care about animals? Simple. Because compassion is not some miserly pot out of which you can only take a spoonful. Caring isn't like a few gold sovereigns bound up in a rag that you can pick out one at a time. It has to be limitless. Looking out for your baby or your friend is easy. The test of moral fiber is to stick up for those you relate to least, those you understand minimally, and those you do not think are that much like you. For them, ground zero is every single day. They are terrified, slaughtered, and in danger every minute. Humans are their terrorists. And this is about them, but it's also about us. It's about whether our hearts are big enough to look after the least of them. That's why the animal rights movement is a movement we can be proud of. I have a word for those of us who are here from our opposition. Every time we step inside a laboratory, we find what are nicely called problems. We've stopped many experiments, but we still discover monkeys with infected headworms because the researchers don't know how to affix their electrode caps. We still find mice who are being bled from the eye, rats who are having their tails or their heads cut off with scissors and just an ice cube to numb them. Can you imagine having your finger cut off and putting an ice cube on it to numb it? Every time we step inside a factory farm, we find problems. We have changed much, but we still find pigs beaten with metal rods, animals having their hoofs cut off while they're still conscious, and animals left to die of black lung and broken bones without so much as a drop of water or a painkiller every single time. And every time we look into the fur, the leather, or the wool industry, we find animals chewing off their own legs in traps, going mad in their tiny, filthy cages, left to suffer out in the fields through all winter cold and sweltering summer heat without relief. And we find them beaten, anally electrocuted, gassed, stomped to death, or shipped live to the Middle East every single time. So those of you who are sitting here from industry, who we may not recognize right off the bat, please have this in your minds. Pork isn't the other white meat. It's the remains of a dead pig. Farriers don't sell natural fabrics. They sell pieces of carcass. Cures for diseases don't depend on using animals. Only your mortgage does. As for all the false equations, your child or the dog, Hans Rusch said it best. He said, not a single child's life has been saved by a dog unless the child was drowning. It is our opposition who are the terrorists. Every one of them who does not actively work for change in the way we treat animals in the society is a terrorist. I have one more thing to say to them. Remember this. Rights movements never go away. They always get stronger. They always attract more people. And there is no point whatsoever in wasting your time fighting them, because we will grow and we will win. And that's a fact. If you don't know this area, you may not know that a little way away from here is Gallaudet College, which is the school for deaf students. And about 10 years ago, there was a significant uprising there. The deaf students wanted a deaf president, but the Board of Regents wanted them to have a hearing president. And the students, they appointed a hearing president, but the students refused to go to class. They went on strike. And the Board of Regents tried everything, but they couldn't get them to go back to school. And so in the end, the students won, and a deaf president was appointed. Well, the leader of the student revolt wrote an editorial in the Washington Post. I'll never forget it. He said, "When slaves rose up against their masters, whites weren't ready, but the slaves were. When women demanded the vote, men weren't ready, but women were. And hearing people may not be ready for us to get a deaf president, but we are ready." And I thought, you know, the people who eat sausages and buy leather furniture and go dog sledding and throw octopuses on the ice during ball games may not be ready for animal rights, but the animals are ready. They've been ready. They are ready, and we had better not let them down. The hard thing is that we, each and every one of us, has to do our part. We can't sit in the wings and feel sad. You're either in or you're out. Just choose something, anything, and do it. And do it unfailingly and unfalteringly.
None of us is alone, even if you think you are in the middle of nowhere. You are not. There is always somewhere, someone there waiting for you to step up to the plate and do something. Anyway, even if you don't find that person, you can do it by yourself. You can, and you must, because the animals depend on you. They depend on each and every one of us. And most important things have been done because just one person cared. Please, don't ever be afraid of seeming radical. All the best people in history have been radical. And it will always be radical to say or do X or Y unless someone starts saying and doing X and Y. We don't face firing squads, lifetime prison sentences, or the gas chambers for saying what's on our minds and in our hearts. We won't lose our lives if we speak out against animal wrongs wherever we see them. But the animals do lose theirs if we don't, so we must. If you arrived at this conference eating animals, I hope, please, that you will pledge to be veg now. If you arrived veg, please remember that there is a piece of a veal calf in every glass of milk, and it takes 22 hours for a hen to lay an egg kept in constant light. And please, go vegan. Back when George Bernard Shaw was being given an award many, many, many years ago, they said, George, it's okay. If you come to the banquet, we promise that it'll all be vegetarian. And he said, I can't imagine anything worse than 3,000 people all chewing celery at the same time. Well, we've gone beyond that, and today you do not have to be limited to celery or anything else. We have every tasty food the world has to offer right here. And we have Ethiopian, Chinese, Thai, Indian, you name it. And then, of course, all the meat taste-alikes, from tofutti cuties to soy sausage crumbles. There is no food taste that you can't find that comes cruelty-free. Cook for others. See this burn? I'm learning to do that still. Deliver tasty dishes to others at work. When you have a gift to give, please consider a recipe book, a cookbook. Teach. Years ago, I only knew one other vegetarian, or one vegetarian. I was waffly, and she would call me up, and she would tell me all about pig batteries and what hens went through and what horror she had seen that day. And afterwards, she would apologize, and she would say, I'm so sorry. I know it's upsetting. And I have said over the years to her, thank you, because often you kept that steak sandwich off my plate. I am so glad that you said what you said. Lobby your council members, work with your legislators if that's your talent. Please find your talents. Meet with your school board if you're a parent, a teacher, or a student. If you haven't read Peter Singer's Animal Liberation, please read it and buy a copy for a friend. Everything we must do, we must pass along. Please read Charles Patterson's Eternal Treblinka and put a copy in a library somewhere. Please don't just spay your own dogs and cats, but go out into a low-income area and knock. Choose a block and go door to door and spay every dog and cat on that block. We can't have a no-kill nation unless we have a no-birth nation. And please don't be depressed. Don't dwell on the big picture, because that's more than any sensitive person can ever endure. Remember all we've achieved in history, all the changes we've made in this very small time of animal rights activity. Even animal welfare is little more than 100 years old. In 1880s, dogs were being drowned in the Hudson River to keep the streets clean. It was the 1920s when Dreyse began the test on rabbits' eyes. In the 1960s, not so long ago, despite pneumonia, Hubert Humphrey got up from his sick bed and went to the Senate floor to argue for the first Humane Slaughter Act, which wasn't a very all-encompassing act, but was the most important historical event. In 1966, after an expose in Life magazine, Congress passed the very first law providing any protection whatsoever to animals in laboratories. In 1981, Peter won the first conviction of an animal experimenter in the history of the United States. In 1988, Jennifer Graham sued her school in California for the right not to dissect. In 2000, Peter won the first conviction ever of a factory farmer for cruelty to animals. In 2001, Senator Robert Byrd addressed the Senate to admonish the nation for the appalling treatment of animals in the meat industry. And just this week, the Food Marketing Institute came out with the pitiful, but still a step forward, first ever guidelines for reducing the suffering of animals on factory farms and in slaughterhouses. The achievement of reform shows that while we have our heads in the clouds, and we have high ideals, and we will not back away from them, we have our feet firmly planted in the ground. Reforms move a society, very importantly, from A to B, from B to C, from C to D. It's very hard to take a nation that, or a world that is built on seeing animals as nothing more than hamburgers, handbags, cheap burger alarms, tools for research, and move them from A to Z. But as we keep whittling away, we will move them finally from R to Z. There is no hidden agenda. If anybody wonders about, oh, what's this with all these reforms, you can hear us clearly. Our goal is total animal liberation and the day when everyone believes that animals are not ours to eat, not ours to wear, not ours to experiment, and not ours for entertainment or any other exploitive purpose. Please, I add my voices to the others, is let's be kind to one another. No one is anyone else. It will take all sorts of different styles and personalities and tactics to achieve our goal. From the most conservative to the most radical, we are all needed, we are all vital, we are all precious. Let's be glad that each one of us is doing something, anything, to achieve animal liberation. If you'd like to use Peter as a resource, please do. We copyright nothing. We have guides to almost everything, free videos to borrow, free packs to give to friends and co-workers. And please go to our booth. You can leave a message for the March of Dimes. You can tell us your hopes and your dreams, and maybe we can help some people with them and make the world a kinder place. Thank you for all you do for animals. You are all truly precious. And I am so happy to see so many of you with so much energy in the room. Take care of yourselves. You're all we've got.